Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Meeting Pros.
Welcome to this week's episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Michael Lauer. We've got a very special show today. Got some great guests, and I'm really looking forward to getting to all of them. Later on in the show, we'll be visiting with Felicia Phillips, co-founder and visionary with Pink Power. We'll be visiting also with Melvin Brewer, owner of 108B Events and Catering. And last on the show, we'll visit with Kimberly Miller, event manager of Woodruff Health Science Center at Emory University. But first today, we have with us Ms. Chandra Farley, with Lead Green Associates, Special Projects Manager of South Face. How are you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well today. Glad to have you in the studio. So first of all, what do you guys do for South Face with mission and purpose?
So South Face promotes sustainable homes, workplaces, and communities through education, advocacy, research, and technical assistance. So in a nutshell, we teach people how to save energy and water and resources in buildings.
So what's a typical client look like for you guys?
It's a wide range. So we do a lot of training, education. So we train almost every day. So architects, designers, building professionals, energy raters, people that are going out, engineers, makes up most of our client base, as well as nonprofits. So we also work with a lot of nonprofits through a number of our programs.
So does a client come to you when they have a typical project, or do you go to them when you find out someone's having a project? How does that workflow kind of go?
Both. So we do fee-for-service work through lead administration. We also have our own green building program called Earthcraft. So builders, architects, designers will come to us if they're working with clients or developers who are interested in sustainable building. Green building is also another term that we use. And on the flip side, on our nonprofit work side, we work with other foundations and other nonprofits and seek out nonprofit organizations that could benefit from green building programs.
Sure. This sustainability
okay.
movement is becoming a pretty big deal. And I think in the past, and maybe in some cases still today, it's considered not to be a profitable thing to do. And that's kind of a misconception, right?
That's definitely a misconception. Sustainability, we hear it as a trend. But if we really think back, especially in my past, it's really something that we have always done. It just wasn't called sustainability or green building. You know, you think about your grandmother telling, turn the lights off. Don't keep that door closed.
Quit leaving the faucet running, right?
Exactly. So we're bringing more awareness to it and helping people understand the energy and money nexus. When you're losing energy, you're losing money. So that's really, really where we focus. And especially, again, with our work for nonprofits, when they're getting a handle on their operations costs, their utility bills, they're able to redirect those dollars back into their missions and provide more services. Builders and developers, of course, you're going to pay for things on the front end, but the costs to your overall operations and the people that are living in your houses or buildings are going to realize a savings, a payback period, so to speak.
So how did you get involved with South Face?
I got involved with South Face around 2008. I was transitioning from a career in interior design back into the meetings and events industry, and was actually working with the husband of someone who worked at South Face. And South Face was getting ready to open the Eco Office, which is our commercial building facility and our office. It's a demonstration facility. And they were looking for someone to come in and develop a facility rental and tours program and manage all the education events that we do. And 3 months later, I was hired at South Face, and I've been there ever since.
So here on Meeting Pros, we've had a lot of companies and people who are involved with GMIC.
Yes.
You guys are involved with GMIC, correct?
We are. I have been involved with GMIC for about 4 years now, and I'm on the board as vice president, president-elect.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. For the folks at home who aren't familiar with GMIC, go ahead and talk a little bit about them.
GMIC is the Green Meetings Industry Council, so we promote sustainability in the meetings events industry, and we are just an advocate for conserving resources in all aspects of meetings and events.
Now, you guys do a lot of educational programs, right?
Yes.
Speak to some of those and kind of how they work.
So just like other associations, one of the core ways that we are able to get our message out is through meetings and events. So we do quarterly programming, and those range from a community service event to education events that we partner with other meetings and events organizations. We did a training program with GAMPI, which is the Meeting Professionals Organization, which I know you've had on the show. So that's the way we get our message out. We're really striving to teach planners and suppliers to ask for it, which is a GMIC campaign that's been recently launched to promote sustainability.
So how does South Face fit into this educational aspect of GMIC?
So at its core, South Face is an educational organization. That's what we've always done. That's what we do through all aspects of our work. And I found out about GMIC when I started at South Face doing some research on green meetings and events. I developed a sustainable meetings and events guide for meetings and events that we were doing on-site at our facility. And through a web search, came across GMIC. And our executive director made a commitment, and he was like, I want us to be a leader in green meetings and events, just like we're a leader in sustainable building. So I started going to meetings, hosted an event at South Face, and I've been involved with them ever since. So and we're really trying to integrate that into our other programs. Our major events each year are our annual Green Prints Conference and our annual Visionary Dinner. So it's another opportunity for us to educate our community on not only are we in this really energy-efficient building, but we're composting all of our food waste for the event, or we're using local food sources, or we're not serving bottled water at the reception. So we're really weaving that through everything that we do.
Sure. I always like to ask this question when people are involved with the green movement and sustainability. What are some trends that you're seeing that are viable, and what are some trends that you're seeing that maybe aren't?
I think the trends that are viable are really just understanding that when you're losing energy, you're losing dollars, or when you're wasting resources, you're wasting dollars. And so I think it's just, trend may not be the right word, but I really think finally people are starting to understand what it's really about. And of course, conserving our resources, leaving the world better than we found it. But people really understand the conversation about dollars. So I think that is one of the things that's starting to make more sense. Probably one of the things that is not viable, you see things come and go, and we talk a lot about greenwashing. And greenwashing is just a term used for people that maybe you want to jump on the bandwagon just for the sake of jumping on the bandwagon and having green in their name without really having anything to back it up. And I think as the public and as consumers and people that care about leaving the world better than we found it, they're starting to educate themselves more and understand how to point that out and either call people on it or do more research for themselves and maybe choose someone else.
And part of this educational component is having new campaigns and new ways to engage people. What are some ways that you guys are doing that? Any new campaigns on the horizon for you guys?
For South Face?
Yeah.
Okay. So for South Face, annually we have an annual fund campaign. So we use that campaign to promote new programs and services that we're doing to keep the public up to date on here's the work that we're doing. Our annual Visionary Dinner, which is coming up in October, is another opportunity for us. We always have a chef's panel for that, so we've got five awesome Atlanta chefs this year. So taking that opportunity with each chef to sort of tell the story of what we're doing. One of our chefs has a restaurant in Glenwood Park, which is an Earthcraft community. So not only is he going to cook awesome food, but we have the opportunity to tell people, hey, this is an Earthcraft community. This is a walkable community. This restaurant is saving this amount of energy and water by doing X, Y, and Z. So we have annual campaigns where we are renewing our story and talking about new programs. GMIC, we're focusing on the Ask For It campaign right now. And
it's an interesting campaign title.
Yeah. What does it mean? It means... ask for it. So we are encouraging planners and suppliers to, when you go to a venue, ask them about what their sustainable practices are. Do they have a recycling program in place? So getting those answers up front, a lot of times planners, caterers, you know, we all have a lot to do. There's a long list of things to do. And so a lot of times it's not in the forefront. But often venues, suppliers are already doing things because they've integrated into their practice, but they're not really talking about it. So this is just a way to get people talking about what the options are and talk about what they're already doing so people are more aware of what's going on.
So where can folks go to learn more about GMIC or South Face?
So to learn more about GMIC, you can go to gmicglobal.org and search for the Atlanta chapter. To learn more about South Face, go to southface.org. And on both of those websites, there are full links to all of our social media, of course. We love to interact with people on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you. This was great.
Hey, how would you feel about hanging out with us when we visit with our next guest?
I would love to.
All right. Next up on Meeting Pros, we have with us Ms. Felicia Phillips, co-founder and visionary with Pink Power. How are you doing, Felicia?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. So maybe start off by letting the folks know at home what you guys do on a day-to-day basis, Pink Power.
So what Pink Power does on a day-to-day basis is really provide mastermind forums for women, but just focusing on women in business, but we bring in women in the workplace. That's a whole piece of the mastermind for us, and that's what we do.
So kind of describe a little bit about what a mastermind entails.
Sure. The vision for me started out when I was in my early 20s. I had the opportunity to work with Zig Ziglar for about a week in Nashville. And I got a chance, I was about 24, I got a chance to see them masterminding. It was an all-men's group, though, at the time. And they were doing phenomenal things. They were opening up doors for each other. They were getting business for one another, expanding each other's brands by co-marketing and cross-marketing. So what I began to realize is this is a platform that's very much needed as women-owned businesses and women in the workplace realize what they can do together and not just individually by broadening their horizons and accepting the fact that if I'm a person in the workplace, and you own your own business, and I know that we need your service, then guess what? There's opportunity for both of us. We both feel a need.
Now, has this been generally well-received, or have there been some kind of headwinds you've been facing when trying to get this thing off the ground?
Actually, it has done very well.
That's awesome.
From a private and government standpoint, because the need for the increase of women-owned businesses due to the economy is rising. Georgia actually is in the top five states with women-owned businesses. So we have, honestly, we haven't had any objection to it because the more businesses, solid businesses that we create, the more jobs that are available in the economy.
So if I'm a woman-owned business or a woman businessman, what should I do to get involved and what would
sure.
I expect to get out of it?
So basically what we have is a two-day event. The first day is about workshops and training. What we do is we talk about things like conflict resolution in the workplace because we have two tracks, one for women in the workplace and one for women in business. So for women in the workplace, we're going to talk about the fact that there are four generations in the workplace today. And how do you deal with that? There's a communication gap there. So we have workshops and training on that. We also talk about women over 40. That are in the workplace. And then we also talk about your individual brand. And then the other thing we talk about is there is a me in team. And people don't realize that. You know, it's always, you know, there's no I in team, but there really is. And so how do you deal with that and make everybody happy? Now, for women in the workplace, what we do is a business matchmaking. We have actually teamed up with Fulton County Purchasing Department and Economic Development. They have come together to provide a platform that if you are a woman-owned business, you have an opportunity to meet with one-on-one with government agencies and corporations to market your business. They're 15-minute sessions. Unbelievable to get that opportunity to come in and do that. And so once you register, you have an all-access pass for the 2 days for the training. We have an awards ceremony. It's a Gatsby theme. We have a little fun. We do some master networking because a lot of times people come to conferences and they get a little overwhelmed. It's so many people. You don't know them. And so what we want to do is take that fear out of it and say, come in, here's how you network. Here is how you pitch your business or you talk about your business to someone where they can be receptive to it. And that's what it's all about. And it's very easy. You don't have to be a member to be involved. You simply can go to the website, which is pinkpowerconference.com. Everything is there. We also have an app that is available on Apple and on Android.
So how many events or meetings do you guys have on a regular basis? Do you have like a rhythm where you have like something every week?
Or? So this year is our first year at Phillips Arena, which is a very large platform.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. We are so excited about that. And we do a little something for everybody. And it's an international platform. We have people coming in from Israel, from all different places.
Wow.
One of the reasons is because we want to teach people how to do business globally. You know, we have websites, but we tend to only market in the area that we live.
Right.
But that www stands for something. It's the World Wide Web. So when you have that website, you open your business to the world. So we want to show you how to take advantage of that. So we're bringing in women. One lady in particular grew her business out of Israel on three continents, doing phenomenally. And so we want to take her and say, okay, tell us what you're doing. How did you do that? Because did you have a team? What did the team consist of? When you start dealing with different cultures, how are they receptive to your platform? These things are very important as we begin to expand. Now, the conference this year is only in Atlanta. We will come back in fourth quarter in November. We have a venture capital boot camp because women don't take advantage of venture capital the way men do, because a lot of times we just don't know and we don't have those relationships. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about is funding and capital for your business. And then next year, we're going to be in Atlanta, Dallas, and New York. So we Wow. will have three meetings, three conferences next year, or three masterminds next year.
And so what all does signing up for membership get me? Just access to these, or are there some mm-hmm. more things?
So there's no membership. I want to be clear
okay,
about
Okay, so there's
that.
No membership.
No,
okay.
It is no membership because we want everybody to take advantage of it.
Sure, sure.
All they have to do is go to the website and sign up, or they can download the app and sign up on the app. It's very easy. And if you can't do that, you can show up on the 14th. It's August 14th and 15th. On the 14th, we start out at the Marriott Marquis in downtown Atlanta. You can come on site and register. We'll take care of you, get you on the track that you need to be on so that you can take advantage of the 2 days.
So you are putting on the entire 2 days, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so is it like a trade show format where you have like breakout sessions and exhibit halls, or how's it kind of work?
It's somewhat similar,
sure.
But a little different at the same time.
Right, right.
Okay, so the first day, the reason we took the first day out of Phillips Arena is because when you're a vendor or you have an exhibitor booth, you don't get to take advantage of the training, the workshops. You can't network. So we want everybody to be able to take advantage of those workshops and trainings, to get that one-on-one time in the mastermind, because we don't want you to just come and feel good and be empowered. We want you to leave with action items. The second day is where we will have an interactive expo floor on the floor at Phillips Arena. So the Hawk Walk that you normally see, we're transforming that. It's going to look totally different. Our format, we do not allow PowerPoints. So our experts are experts. They know what they're talking about. And so each one of them will do 15-minute segments back to back. During that time, you have the opportunity to get professional headshots. We also have transformation, business, and life coaches on site that you can meet with. And then you can visit and find out what products and services you may need for your business that are along that expo floor. One of the caveats that I'm really excited about is that there is a time from 12:30 to 2:30 on the 15th where we bring all the women into the arena floor, inside the arena. And we have some dynamic keynote speakers from film and entertainment. We have professional women athletes that talk about fame and the transition coming out of the WNBA in different areas. We also talk about masterminding and leadership, because one of the three things that we focus on are leadership, entrepreneurship, and mentorship. That mentorship piece is important because people say, well, I really don't know how to get a mentor. What is a mentor going to do for me? Well, it can actually change what you do, whether you're in the workplace or in business, if you have a mentor. And then how to have a mentee and how to mentor that person. That's one of the things that I really want people to be able to lead from. So you should have three action items after the 15th. That next week, you should be on fire. You should know, if I'm a woman on business, I met with at least three companies, right, or agencies that I need to follow up with, and it should work for you very well.
Are there sponsorship opportunities for businesses? For
this? Most definitely. If you're interested in being a sponsor or being an exhibitor, all you have to do is go to pinkpowerconference.com, click on the partnership tab. You can email us directly or call us. We are available, and there are opportunities still available for you.
What are some things sponsors could look forward to out of this event?
So what we try to do for our sponsors is create a win-win. So they have the opportunity to connect with the audience. They have the opportunity to participate in the matchmaking. There's also opportunity for training and workshops. So we have tons of opportunity. And what we like to do is sit down and see what your mission is so that we can connect you in a way that's beneficial for you, not just to get your name out there, but to make sure you're actually leaving with the possibility of connecting with these attendees.
Yeah, I've noticed at typical trade shows and events, it's tough balancing providing that value for sponsors in a way that also provides value for attendees.
Yes.
Because it's like if you're helping the sponsors out, it's inconvenient for the attendees, and otherwise, why would you be a sponsor?
So exactly.
It's kind of tough to kind of manage that?
It is. Now, one of the things that we do is we have what we call experience liaisons for our sponsors. So we don't put everybody in the same basket. So for a sponsor, we have individuals that work for us that actually walk with that sponsor, that make sure the sponsor is getting exactly what they need in order to be fulfilled, because we want them to come back next year, right? So we don't want to just turn them loose at the conference, but we want to make sure that they're having an experience that they can go back and say, you know what, I want to continue to be a part of this for years to come.
It's all about the win-win.
Exactly.
So where can folks go to sign up and maybe learn more about you guys?
Sure. You can sign up by going to www.pinkpowerconference.com. You can also go to your iStore on Apple and download the app, as well as Google Play for Android.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
All right. How would you feel about hanging out with us? We have another guest.
That would be phenomenal.
All right. Next up on Meeting Pros, we have with us the owner of 108B Events and Catering, Mr. Melvin Brewer. How are you doing, Melvin?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Good. You have a nice, deep voice there, man.
Yeah,
that's a radio voice.
Yeah, I tried to put that on for you.
There you go. All right. So maybe give us what you guys do at 108B.
108B is a full-service catering company. We do everything from weddings and corporate events. We do barbecues. We do family reunions. We do just about everything in the catering world. We also have a large part in event coordination down to wedding coordination and things of that nature. So we do a little bit of everything.
So you don't have a typical client. Pretty much you can do any kind of event that someone would want to put together?
Any kind of event. I'll go by this past weekend. We did a wedding and two family reunions and a business brunch just this past weekend. So our clients range from a mid-level to high-level corporate to mid-level to high-level social. We do just about everything.
It's got to be kind of tough to do that, because each, like you said, you have corporate, you have social. They have different needs and different objectives. How do you make sure that you accomplish that in different ways?
I would say prayer, but we'll go with it. But we have a very competent staff. Most of my staff comes from a hotel background, so we're definitely understand both needs. We focus on each and every client individually. We give each budget range the same amount of attention, though. And I think that's one of the things that 108B really stands for. We're very, very close with our clients. It's if you're getting married, we're getting married. You understand? If you're having a party, we're having a party. And I want the best. My staff wants the best, and that's what we try to push. We really push that.
Yeah, regardless of the dollar sign, you want to make sure that event is the best it can possibly
that's
be.
That's correct. $500 to $500,000, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we really work on that.
So how did you guys get started?
We got started. It was the one thing that I did not want to do. you know, I was in the hotel world. I was in banquets at the old Swiss Hotel and Occidental Grand, and people would ask me to cook. you know, can you cook for me? Can you cook for me? And we did that. And I would do that. And then I would say, no, I don't really want to do this. And then it was like it was destined for it to happen. And then I just realized that I loved it. I loved it. I wouldn't miss it for the world. So that's how we kind of got started. And then kind of grew into the event planning and then to the florals and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. So you guys still do all the catering in-house?
Yes, sir.
Do you outsource or do you contract work for most everything else? Or
we outsource very little. We try to keep everything.
That's
we try
cool.
to keep everything in-house. We do. We're not real good on certain cakes, so we may call. I may call Cakes by LaMika or someone like that to help us in on areas of that. We don't do photography.
Right.
But with my voice, we will sing.
Nice. I can see that. I can hear it now.
There you go.
So do you guys have set menus or can someone say, hey, I want you to do this dish, you know, whatever. How does that kind of work?
You know, we have set menus. However, we can create anything for anyone's environment. One of the things that we find here as of late, gluten-free, vegan. So we break out the cookbooks and we started doing vegan and gluten-free, you know, so because the culinary climate and dining climate has changed.
Right.
Right. So we work with our clients on anything.
Is there any specialties that you'd like to talk about? Any dishes that you guys like really excited about, people really like?
First of all, our ribs. Believe it or not, we have an award-winning barbecue. Matter of fact, we just came back from Winston-Salem from the Texas Pete Rib Fest. We won here locally at the, Rockin' Ribville in Lawrenceville. And that our ribs are very good. Matter of fact, our ribs are excellent, you know. And then there's our brown sugar baked chicken, which is my grandmother's recipe.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Yes, that's one of our famous dishes. Matter of fact, we sell more brown sugar baked chicken than we do anything else. You know, I would like to get into other things, but people keep calling for the chicken.
If it's good, they keep ordering it, right?
Right, right.
Go ahead. You got something?
Well, I was just going to say, and also... next time I come up here, I'm going to bring you something.
Oh, sure. We'll get you on the calendar right now. Let's see. Right.
I need to be here.
Okay. So do you have a typical client base? Is it you get a lot of repeat customers? How does that usually work?
We get a lot of repeat customers. Matter of fact, this is my, me being here on Radio X is one of the things that we're trying to expose people to, but we stay pretty busy. And we didn't do any advertising. We didn't do anything. And so it's a lot of repeat business and a lot of word of mouth.
Well, it speaks to client retention there. I mean, if you're keeping your clients, that's means you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, we try. Keep the chicken coming. You know what I mean?
Brown sugar chicken, 247.
There you go.
So do you guys have a typical go-to venue? Do you guys kind of like go around all over Atlanta? What's that like?
We go all over Atlanta. We're exclusive at the Ardmore Hotel. We're also exclusive at the Hilton Garden in Stonecrest. But we've done everything from the Biltmore to Midtown Plaza. We've done a lot of the venues here in town.
Are there any... big pain points in your business that kind of get you?
You know, I think one of the things that I like about this job is that it's the challenges. You know, our challenges are a little different than most because catering is like a subculture. You know, we have problems getting into buildings. We have problems getting with security, you know, things of that nature. But it gives us an opportunity to figure out what we're going to do. Because, you know, our motto is whatever it takes, whatever the party calls for. And when it comes to that, at the end of the day, no one cares about anything but that food being on the table. So my staff has to be flexible enough to know that we have to jump through some hoops to make it happen.
Sure.
And I don't think that a lot of caterers don't talk about that, but it's a challenge always. The other challenges that we have is probably some of the preferred catering list in some of the venues. You know, a lot of the venues are locked down by, you know, some of the big three and four, you know, but we want to let people know that we're out here. You know, we're here and we can do the work. But that's about it. But we just look. We look. Actually, the parking here today was a little challenging. But other than that, you know, everything was. Everything is. It's basic. You know, the one thing that I will say is, as a caterer, our challenges are different. We can serve the same meal, but our challenges are different every day, which makes it more exciting.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at.
So what's on the horizon for you guys? You sound like you have some great food. Are you going to open a restaurant, a food truck, something like that?
Well, we're actually in the back burner has always been this little barbecue place where there were lines of people. I keep seeing that. So
right.
I'm hoping in the next year we can start exploring that avenue.
So where can folks go learn more about you guys, maybe hire you guys out or something like that?
Okay, you can always look at us at 108B, or let me say this, www.108bevents.com. I like that World Wide Web thing. And then you can always reach us at 404-987-0331.
Well, Melvin, it's been a pleasure, man.
Thank you very much.
We will definitely get you back on, if for no other reason than the brown sugar chicken.
There you go.
All right, last up today on Meeting Pros, but certainly not least, we have with us Ms. Kimberly Miller, event manager with the Woodruff Health Sciences Center at Emory University. How are you doing, Kimberly?
I'm doing great.
Did I get all that right?
Yes, you did.
All right.
So I know it's a tips on, you know, off yeah. the tongue, not really well.
Well, there's a lot there, but you guys are doing a lot, right?
Oh, my gosh, we're doing a lot there.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first, let me just say I work for the Woodruff Health Sciences Center Development. And let me just explain a little bit about development.
Sure.
Woodruff Health Sciences Development, it encompasses Emory School of Medicine, School of Nursing, School of Public Health, the Winship Cancer Institute, and Emory Healthcare. So it's a lot. And basically what development does is cultivate and manage relationships with donors that are affiliated with Emory. Either they are grateful patients or family of grateful patients, or a lot of them, or alumni that went to the school. So the events that we actually plan are either pure cultivation events, which are thank you and donor recognition events, educational events, or just pure fundraising events where there's a monetary goal that we are working towards. So this past spring, we're a two-person office, me and my other event manager, and we do about 50 to 60 events a year.
Wow, that's a good bit of events.
Yeah.
So you're very busy.
I'm very busy. And actually, right now, summers are a little slow time for us. We actually get to regroup and think and be creative.
Breathe.
hopefully take a couple of vacation days. But spring and fall are huge, huge times for us. And this past spring, we probably did about 30 events.
Wow.
And out of those events, like two of them I am just really, really happy about. We did the Winship Gala at the Piedmont Driving Club. That event had about 350 donors and sponsors that attended, and it raised $850,000 for cancer research. So we were very, very happy with that.
It's a big number.
It is a very big number. It's a biannual event, so it's only like the fourth time that we have done it. So to reach that goal, I think, after only doing it for four times is great. And it's growing. So that's definitely what you want to see in events.
Right. this fundraising and building for a nonprofit, that's challenging. What are some ways that you guys kind of build events to achieve specific goals?
Well, the first thing we do, I work with development officers, and then a lot of times they're clients who are our donors.
Right.
And so we work together as a partnership. We work and sit down and talk, what are the goals of the event? What do we want to reach? A lot of times it's not monetary. Sometimes it's just getting the word out about something, or it's getting brand recognition out there. Emory Healthcare System is the largest healthcare system in Georgia, and a lot of people wouldn't know that.
Right.
So I think a lot of times it's just getting that out there, and a lot of times that's the main reason for an event. It's not always monetary.
You seem very passionate about what you do. How'd you get started?
I started actually in catering. I was in a country club, and I was working with their event coordinator. And so brides would come in and corporations would come in wanting to do golf tournaments. And so I really, I loved it. I just wanted to broaden it. I think event managers tend to have the tendency to want to control a little. And so I wanted to be involved from A to Z, from conception, planning, execution through the debrief. And so I actually started at Georgia Tech, and I was there for 9 years. And then I went over to Emory, and I've been at Emory almost 10 years.
Wow.
And I just gave away my age.
So tell me about some very special events that you guys do that you're just super excited about, being proud of.
Well, coming up this fall, we actually, September 27th is the Winship 5K. And last year we had 2,800 runners. And they raised like over $400,000.
Wow.
So this year we're looking for more runners. We'd like to see, 3,000 or above, and definitely raise more than we already have. We also, Winship is also doing the Fashion for a Cure. And what I actually love about this event is they only use local boutiques. We don't go to any of the big brand stores. And the actual models, they are either cancer survivors or they have been affected by cancer by someone in their family. So it's very personal, and all of that money actually will go to women research for cancer.
So what is the biggest challenge you face when planning an event?
Well, we are a nonprofit, I would say budget is always a big issue. Cadillac taste on a Chevrolet budget.
Right.
So at times we have to get really creative. When you're raising money, you definitely want it to look nice, but then you also don't want it to look like you overspent the money
right.
that you raised. So it's always a really fine line to try to walk that, to keep it looking nice. If you're going to a gala, you want it to have an elegant feel to it. You just don't want to spend thousands of dollars to make that happen. So it can be tricky, but it's also, I think, that's the challenge that keeps me coming back.
It's got to be satisfying when you accomplish it, right?
It is. It's definitely very satisfying.
So, and part of that is always raising the value, upping the ante, and staying current with the trends of the industry. How do you do that?
I actually once, as far as staying trendy, I attend the special events conference, which is always very educational. And then that showroom floor, there's just thousands of vendors there that, you can walk around and you can see what's happening. I also, several trade magazines that we look at. As far as being creative, I think you can find creativity anywhere. It can be a greeting card, it can be a magazine, it can be a picture, and I have a folder, and I actually told, our other event manager in the office when she was first starting, I was like, anything that you get inspiration from, you rip that out, you put it in a folder. When you're feeling dry and you're not grasping at something, you pull that out and you look at it. So that's how I try to stay trendy, and I also try to stay creative.
There's also this great show on Business Radio X called Meeting Pros, mm-hmm. and they interview a bunch of meeting planners.
Is that really?
Yeah, it's actually that's great.
That's true.
I may be a little partial, but I don't know. So what's on the horizon you guys really like people to get involved with?
Like I said, definitely the 5K. And also, we also do every May, it's the AIDS Vaccine 200. Which is a very impressive ride as far as I'm concerned. It's basically cyclists ride 200 miles in 2 days. And I find it so impressive because I probably couldn't ride 20 miles in two days.
Me
so.
Either. Okay. If you see me running, start because something's after me.
Exactly. I'm being chased. So that's one that, you don't necessarily have to be a rider. You can also donate for it. And I think last year we had 120 riders, but they raised like $223,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then also, like I said, the 5K and the Winship, the fashion show is also, and all these are on the web. So,
yeah, I was going to say, that's all exciting stuff. Where can people go to get involved and to sign up?
I would say emory.edu, start there, and all of our departments are there. You can just click through and find them. So, the School of Medicine, Winship, all of Emory Healthcare. They're all there.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
I'm Michael Lauer here for all the guests. That's all the time we have for today on Meeting Pros. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.